Well, hey guys, my name is Noah. I am the men's recovery director here at Watermark for Regeneration. And I have a new life in Christ. Yes, I do. And I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography. So I want to tell you guys a little story about me, okay? So when I was a kid, this may come as a surprise to you, but I loved toys, all right? I know, get that. So, man, we had trains, we had race cars, we had building blocks, we had Lincoln Logs, we had like this Fisher-Price farm set with all the animals, and, you know, you'd open the door and it would moo at you. Did anybody in here have that one? We opened the door 1,000 times, I kid you not. And my parents were like, seriously, why did we get that thing for them? And now they make even more annoying toys if you have little kids. But, I mean, we love toys. So, true story. So, one time I was probably 2.5 years old. I was in my crib, and I was waiting for my mom to come get me. And my brother comes in first, and he brings me a toy. And I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I love toys. I'm in my crib. I got a toy in my crib. I didn't know it could be this good. And so, I'm playing with my toy, right? And so, then he brings me another toy. And I'm like, sweet. Ditch that toy. Grab this toy, right? Playing with my toy. I got 2 toys now. He brings me another one, right? Awesome, ditch that one. I'm playing with this one. This is incredible. Well, he keeps bringing them, and I'm loving it, right? I love toys. This is fantastic. But pretty soon, I start to realize that I don't have the room that I thought I did to play with the toys that I wanted to play with, and now I kind of realizing that I don't have a whole lot of room to move around at all, and I'm starting to get a little claustrophobic. I'm starting to get a little frustrated, and I'm starting to get irritated, and so I start crying, right? And pretty soon, I am backed up against the wall, corner of the crib, I had the standing room only. It's just overflowing with toys. My brother thinks it's hilarious, and I'm crying. And so my mom comes in, she hears the commotion, she comes in, and she does what every good mother does, is she takes a picture of it, okay? And so that's me right there. Notice the super short shorts, and that's, you know, like I don't even know, a shopping cart or something. I don't think that was mine, but just a ton, like tons of stuff, right? And so the reality is I was neck deep in the thing that I truly wanted, and I couldn't get out, okay? And so I'm going to tell you another story, also a true story. When I was 8 years old, our family took a trip across the country to see some relatives. And while we were there, we get to this house, and we're kind of exploring. We're doing what kids do, right? We're looking around, and what's behind this door? Oh, wow, it's this creepy old attic, and wow, you know, all this stuff. And hey, what's in this closet? And we find a box, and in this box, what's in this box? Man, I don't know. It's these magazines, and in these magazines are images of women that I've never seen before, right? Women without their clothes on. And my mind was blown. That was my first exposure to pornography. And I knew, 8 years old, I knew that something was wrong, right? Like, something is not okay with what I'm doing. If my parents found out, I would be in big trouble, right? Or if, you know, if so-and-so found out, they would just hang their head, right? I knew I was violating some rule, but at the same time, like, I was drawn to it. I was attracted to it, and I knew, hey, there's something really interesting about it, and I kept going to it, and so that began a journey for me for the next 18 years. It started with those magazines, and it moved from there to finding out that the boys, you know, that I went to school with, their dads had it under their beds, and so we'd ride around the neighborhood on our bicycles looking for, you know, which dad had it this week. And then I found out that they make these movies that you can watch on TV, not at our house because we didn't pay for those channels, thank God. But, you know, I'd go over there and we'd watch them. And then when the internet came on the scene, it was just boom, like everywhere, and all of a sudden I could have it. In the secrecy, in this privacy of my own home, I didn't have to wait, you know, weeks and months till we would be going on a trip to stay at a hotel or whatever. I could just have it anytime I wanted to, as long as I was secretive about it, right? As long as I hid, you know, stayed up late, waited till my parents went to bed, staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning, and so it continued to escalate. Staying up late, foregoing time with friends to look at pornography. I remember one time that my mom called me in the middle of the day, and I'm looking at pornography on the home computer, and I just pick up the phone and I'm talking to my mom like it's no big deal, just lying to her. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Great. Okay, cool. Great. Relationships I kept at arm's length. I didn't want anybody to truly know me because I was ashamed of what I was doing, and I knew something was wrong, right? Something was wrong, but I still went for it. I was girl crazy, like a lot of guys in their teens. And as much as I would crush on these girls, like whenever I would kind of get close to them, I would begin to see that they're human, that they have flaws, that they're not, you know, they're not perfect, or they have this little personality quirk that I would just kind of be like, yeah, I don't like that. And so as easy as closing a browser window, I would just walk away. My insecurity would rise up and I would realize, man, I don't even know, even if I did catch this girl, like, I don't even know if I could handle a relationship, because what if she rejects me? I don't know. And so my relationships suffered. My job, when I left college, I'd go to get a job. I wanted to change the world, like every 22-year-old does. And I'd get a job selling furniture because that's going to change the world. And when it didn't work and it got hard, I just quit and I'd go get it something else. And I'd start doing this and I'd quit that and it just didn't work. And so I was like, you know what? This is too hard. I don't like this. I'm just going to go over here. And I'm just going to find another easy one over here. And so I kept quitting and running from relationships, from hardships, from the challenges of life. And then again, at the age of 25, I found myself up to my neck in what I thought I had wanted. And I was stuck. I could not get out. I was in bondage. So tonight, guys, we're talking about pornography. And I want you to know three things before we leave here today. I want you to know that porn destroys. Okay? It is awful, right? It is a horrific thing. But at the same time, I want you to know that God has great love for you, that the story does not end with pornography. And he hasn't left you to mire in your sin. And I want you to know that healing is possible. So my first point is that porn destroys, okay? And so before I get too far into it, when I say porn, I do think that in our minds we think of kind of this subsection, like this kind of smutty, gross over here, you know, the adult film industry, right? And that certainly is porn, but the reality is that pornography just means, literally translated, it means sexual immorality and writings or images about sexual immorality. But Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. And so for a Christian, pornography isn't this one little thing that only a subsection of the populace actually use. It is anything that causes us to lust, right? And so, and this is not just a problem for men. So generally speaking, you may have heard it said that men use relationships to get sex and that women use sex to get relationships. Well, that's repeated when you look at the pattern of pornography usage. Men prefer videos and images and sexual content, but women gravitate towards erotic stories and romantic websites. But here's the other thing, okay? It's also progressive, right? Meaning that it might start, like it did with me, for, you know, just this magazine or the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, right? Or the Victoria's Secret catalog that came in the mail. But then it moves on. It moves, and then it has to keep going, right? That doesn't work anymore. And so you have to get more, and you have to get more lurid things. You have to get more grotesque things. And so it moves from those innocuous, I'll say, which they're not, we know that, things to, you know, Playboy, and then to Hustler, and then to downloading images, and then to videos, and then to XXX videos. I remember the first time I downloaded a XXX video online, I was disgusted when I saw it. Like, I was addicted to porn, right? And I was looking at it all the time. But I saw this, and I thought, oh, that's sick. I deleted it. And 24 hours later, I go back, and I find it again. And if God hadn't saved me there, it would have kept going, right? It goes on to even more grotesque as it becomes revenge porn and then rape and then youth and eventually child pornography. And for women, it may start with a chick flick or it may be an obsession with gossip blogs, but then it progresses to romance novels and erotic fantasies. And the fantasy continues to grow and grow until there you are. You find yourself in a chat room doing things that you would have never thought that you would ever do. And it doesn't end there, okay? Are you grossed out yet? It doesn't end there because porn always moves us into action. I would challenge any man that said he looks at pornography but he does not masturbate, right? And masturbation, when you reach orgasm, what happens in your brain is your brain releases chemicals that are stronger and more potent than heroin and cocaine, and it literally rewires pieces of your brain such that looking at images on a computer screen or fantasizing about them as you read becomes preferable to your physiology than the real thing, than a real partner in a marriage relationship. And it doesn't end there with pornography, with masturbation. It continues on. It goes into even more and more grotesque things: web chat sessions, voyeurism, strip clubs, lap dances, massage partners, anonymous hookups, prostitution, and even sexual assault and murder. You guys, I mean, this is real. The question you might ask is, how far will it go, or how grotesque will it get? And to that, I would say, unfortunately, the only answer is, it depends on how much time you've got to either die or be arrested. And Satan loves it, guys. He is cackling at us as we consume this trash. Jesus says to us in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Did you hear that? That is his game. That is his strategy, and those are his tactics, that he is using pornography and all of the sins that we deal with, but specifically this one, he is using it to destroy. But I have come, Jesus, I have come that you would have life and have it abundantly. See, this is where Christ comes in with the good news, that God loves you and he wants good things for you, right? He's not mad at you. If you're a struggler, if you're presently mired in it and you're going, man, like, enough with the beatdown, Noah. Or if you're one of those that, hey, I use it every now and then, I got it under control, it's not a big deal. I want you to know God is not mad at you. He's not tapping his foot going, come on, get with the program. He loves you. He's inviting you in. God is not anti-sex. He loves sex, right? He invented it. But like any powerful gift, it has to be used in its appropriate context. So this weekend, for example, my wife and I, we had a little camp out in our living room with our two little kiddos, and we roasted marshmallows in the fireplace, and it was a blast. They were laughing and cackling, and my son like wanted more and more and more. We had to cut them off at, you know, I don't remember, 3. And maybe more, I don't remember, honestly. And, you know, he's getting all into it. I love it when the chocolate gets all melty, right? And we had a blast. It was really like a sweet, fun family memory. But imagine if that fire had just been, like, moved over 2 feet, right? And it had been on our floor. It would not have been fun. It would have been horror, right? Our house would have caught on fire. There would have been crying, screaming, as we feel the flames consume us, as the house crashes down on us. And this is what happens. See, God loves sex. He gave it to us. He gave us our bodies as a gift. But when we use it outside of the context for which he intended it, it brings destruction. And so he's not mad at you, but he is saying, hey, I want you to know there is a better way. God loves men and God loves women, right? And he has uniquely designed each of us in different ways. So women, generally speaking, God has designed you to reflect the beauty and the mystery and the regal splendor of God, right? Nobody's ever called me regal, and I'm okay with that. But for men, he's wired us to build and to drive and to cultivate, right? And to create things. A study done at Princeton recently showed they did brain scans of men as they were looking at different images flashing in front of their eyes. And what they found is fascinating. The part of the brain, when a man sees an image, and this is not what the world would call pornography, right? But when a man sees an image of a woman dressed in something, you know, like a bikini, the part of his brain that lights up is the part that is associated with tools, right? Like, I mean, a screwdriver or a hammer. It is a physical object that I can grab and use for a specific purpose, right? Now, the other side of that is the part of the brain that didn't light up at all, take a gander. It was the part that likes to think about, hey, I wonder what she's like. I wonder what, you know, I wonder what kind of music she enjoys. I wonder what she wanted to be when she was a little girl, right? The researchers were shocked at how absent the brain activity was in that region. And so what that just shows me is what I already know in my heart as a fallen man. I know that when I see stuff like that, it strips away the value and the splendor and the dignity of a woman. And it reduces her down to a physical object that I can use for one specific purpose, my pleasure. But the crazy thing is, we all know that, right? Porn objectifies women. We all know that. But here's the crazy thing. I said that men were designed to build and to design and to create and to move into darkness, into chaos, and to bring order, right? What are you building and creating and designing when you're glued to a computer screen? You are quite literally moving in the opposite direction of what God designed you as a man. You see, pornography emasculates men. It strips us of what makes us men, and it turns us into, while we are there fantasizing about becoming a man, as we think man ought to look like, we are literally becoming the opposite, passive, pathetic, isolated, and impotent. But what I want you to hear is that that's not God's design, and he's not mad at you. He loves you, and that healing is possible. So when I came here about 11 to 12 years ago, was the first time I walked into Regen, and I remember that moment. I told you all my story about, you know, running from people and from things, and I was blaming God big time, right? And I thought that he had caused all of these things in my life. And I remember that first night at Regen, I reached for that door, and I was so mad at God. I really didn't even know why I was there. But I had this feeling, right? I had this feeling that something's gonna happen here. Like, either he's gonna show up and something crazy's gonna happen, which I was like really doubtful of, or nothing was gonna happen and I was just gonna be done with you, God. And so I walked in. And if you told me that night that here now, you know, more than a decade later, I would be standing here, that I would be, by God's grace, 10 years clean from seeking out pornography, I would have told you, you're crazy. I couldn't go a day. You know, at most, for seasons, I could go 2 to 3 weeks. Oh, look at me. I'm so strong. But man, I was controlled. I was oppressed by this. I would have told you that that's not possible. But I am telling you right now, I am literally standing here because healing is possible. I would not be here. I certainly, praise God. I literally wouldn't be standing here because I wouldn't have this job. I would not... dead serious, right? I don't know what job I'd have. I probably wouldn't have a job, right? I wouldn't be married. I'd probably be somewhere, you know, either dead, lost in a coma, or in prison. Like, I don't know where I would be, but I would be miserable. I would be unhappy. I would have continued my addiction, and I would have been reaping all of the things that I just told you about, but for Jesus Christ. And so, guys, if that is you and you're struggling, listen, freedom is possible. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Right, I'm going to read that again. So flee youthful passions. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So three things, guys, I want you to take out of this scripture. Flee, follow, and fellowship. When I say flee, I mean literally run away, right? Think about Joseph, Potiphar's wife. She's like, hey, come lay with me. He says, no. And he doesn't just kind of go, no, I'm going to stand here. He runs away, right? To his own detriment. He gets fired. He gets thrown in prison. But run away. If you're struggling with this, man, let go of the pride, okay? It is okay to need help. Would you rather have your independence and continue to struggle? Or would you rather reach out for help and begin healing, right? So, hey, ask yourself, why do I really need an iPhone? Do I need to have a computer in my bedroom? Why not give it, why not let it sit in the main room of the house, right? Or give it to a roommate. Hey, don't let me use this after 8 p.m., right? You set the password, don't let me know, right? Cut your cable, cut Netflix, whatever else it is. Stop watching that TV show that you think is amazing, but it's got a little bit of nudity. Flee, run away. Probably the best thing I did, I remember specifically one time, I called a friend, and I just said, hey, man, I haven't looked at porn right now. It was 1 a.m. I said, I haven't looked at porn right now, but I think if I didn't call you or somebody, I'd have about 2 more minutes. So will you pray for me? Flee. Follow. That is, you can't just run from nothing, run from something into nothing, right? So you must follow something. And who do you follow? You follow Jesus. Everything that we are looking for in pornography will be found only in Jesus Christ. You see, pornography is a lie. It is a sham. It promises something that it cannot deliver. But the flip side of that, people will tell you, oh, a good family or a lasting relationship or a vibrant sex life with your spouse is gonna fill you up. And I'll tell you, those are great things. Those are gifts from God, but they won't last. They won't fill you up. Only Jesus Christ. Only God through Christ. So run to him, pursue him. Last, fellowship. You cannot do this alone. You need brothers and sisters who will know you intimately, who will call your bluff, who will hold you accountable, and who will help you see the real heart issues. So you see, I'm gonna share one more final secret about porn. It's almost always, I would venture to say, it is always a cover for something, right? Fear, anxiety, insecurity, pain. For me, when I was in my 20s, I was wrestling with all these questions about life. Would I be a success? Do I have what it takes? Would I ever have fun after college? All these questions were just kind of pounding in my brain constantly. I couldn't stop thinking about them unless I was looking at pornography. And so it just kind of numbed me out and shut those questions up. But I didn't put that together until years later through the Holy Spirit, obviously, and through men that loved me, that asked me questions and that helped me see that. Otherwise, guys, we're just trying to get rid of, if we're just trying to get rid of porn, then ultimately we're just addressing a symptom and not the real issue, which is us trying to find life apart from Christ. So remember that story of me in the crib? The truth is, I couldn't get out, right? I mean, I was 2 years old. I was too small, I was too weak, I was too ignorant, I was powerless to get out. What I needed then is I needed my mom. Who loves me. To come scoop me up and lift me out. And the same is true of me and my addiction and of us right here, right now. The same is true for all of us. We need our loving Father who is strong, who loves us, who can come along and stoop down to our level, look us in the eyes and tell you, I got this. It's gonna be okay. And lift us up out of the pit to set our feet on a rock and give us a firm place to stand. So wherever you guys are, if this is your very first night and you're like, man, I'm that guy with my hand on the door going, I don't know why I'm even here, right? Or if you've been here for what feels like forever and you're just going, man, I'm not seeing the fruit that everybody keeps talking about, believe me when I say, keep coming. Make yourself available to God. Make yourself available and see what he wants to do. And mark my words, guys, you will never be the same. Thanks.